We are holding on to Machdalat Amud Beis, second line of the wide line. Mishnah said, Mishi Yeshlek Shtei Kitibonis. The case where a man has two sets of daughters, one from his first wife, one from his second wife. It says, I was Makadish the older one, but the older one could mean any of the three out of the four older girls, each of whom is older than the next, than the ones from the next set, or than her younger sister from that set, or whatever. So the mayor had said that the three older girls out of the four are Suffolk Mekudeshes, and they all need to get in Suffolk. Rabbi Yossi had said that only the eldest one, only the eldest out of the four, is the one who there would be any possibility of Kedushin. And then we had the Mishnah and continued the other way around, that if he said the Katana, same thing. Rabbi Meir would say that it means the three who are younger than their siblings, so it could mean the second girl from the first set, or either of the girls from the second set, second, third, or fourth. And again, Rabbi Yossi had said that it just means black, the fourth one. So Gemara says it's tzricha. The Mishnah needs to tell us both cases, both the case where he said the older one and the one where he said the younger one. Because if the Mishnah had only told us the first case where he said the older one, you would say in that case, or Meir says that oldest may not mean the absolute oldest. It may mean anyone that is older than the next one. Because after all, since there is one that's younger, at least one that's younger, so he may well call one of the other girls the older one.
The
Gdola relative to the Katana, right. But when it comes to Katana, you don't usually, if you're able to, Rashi says, the point is, if a person is able to call his daughter Gdola, he's not going to call her Katana. So if you have, in the case of these four girls, because we'd assume a person would rather, you know how it is, I mean, kids like to think of themselves as older than they are, and the father usually would tend to go along with that as well. So if, for example, in the case of where you have, again, you have four girls, two from the first set, two from the second set, you're able to call either the first, the second, or the third Gdola, because each one of them is Gdola relative to the next one. So there, the mayor might be arguing there, you might have a suffix that maybe he means any of them. But Katana, you could argue he wouldn't call, for example, the second one Katana, since he is able to call her Gdola. So you would think that maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yossi that in that case it's only the fourth one.
What happened to Abraham?
Okay, so before we talk about that, I don't remember. I did see something about that one of the Rishonim talks about what if there are twins. I don't remember what they said. I think what they said is that in that case, you wouldn't just call them Gdola. In that case, you'd specify by name or whatever, because then there'd be no way to disambiguate.
All these cases exclude. All
those cases, we're assuming no twins, yeah. When it comes to the case of the younger one, he might agree with Rabbi Yossi. He's only going to call Katana the one who is the absolute youngest out of the four then. Conversely, if it only told us in that case, you would say, you would argue conversely that maybe Rabbi Yossi says that, again, like that, you would only call Katana the absolute youngest one. But when it comes to the Gdola, maybe he would agree with Rabbi Meir that you might flatter them, sort of, by calling them Gdola, even when they're really not. So therefore, we need both cases. That's what we're saying. That the mayor would say, any way where you have the capability of calling them Gdola, you're going to do that. Well, we wouldn't think maybe you would do the same by Katana, but that's the chiddush. He says that, and Rabbi Yossi conversely says that you're only going to call Katana the one who is the absolute Katana, and you're only going to call Gdola the one who is the absolute Gdola.
He would agree.
No, that's the thing. Neither of them agrees with the other in either case. That's why we needed both cases to clarify that. Okay, the question is, so are you telling me then that the mayor holds that a person is going to get himself into a situation of a suffix? So a person may well say, for example, Gdola, where it's not clear what he means, and then it could end up being a suffix among the three of them. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds that a person is going to speak in a way that makes his intention clear. He's not going to get himself into that kind of suffix. The problem with that is that we find a Mishnah that says the other way around, which we learned in Nedarim. Now, the Mishnah starts like this. If a person makes a neder that he's going to be also in something until Pesach, then everyone agrees also ad shiagia. It means he's only also until Pesach arrives. As soon as it's the first night of Pesach, he's also from his neder. Ad Pesach means to the beginning. Yes. On the other hand, ad shiagia Pesach, if he says until Pesach is, by adding the word shiyehei, means also at shiyehei. Then it means he's also till Pesach is over. Those two, everybody agrees with. What happens at Pnei Pesach? What happens, he says, until the face of Pesach? So what does that mean? Rav Meir says it means that he's also only until Pesach arrives, only until the beginning of Pesach. Pnei, in the sense of a day of Pesach that comes before the next one. So therefore, each one, now it's true, each day is a Pnei to the next one. However, Rav Meir seems to be saying, L'machas inish nafshalas speka, a person is going to be definitive in what he says. If he says that Pnei Pesach means it's only until the last point at which we can say Pesach is yet to come, therefore excluding all the days of Pesach, therefore excluding all the days of Pesach, so as soon as Pesach begins, the Neder is over.
Excluding from the
Neder. Yeah. Rabbi Yosi, I'm actually whereas Rabbi Yosi says until Pesach is over, because he evidently says Ad Pnei Pesach can mean it could still include any day where there is still some part of Pesach left to go. It's still Lifnei of the next day of Pesach. Therefore, it would be until Pesach is actually over. So Rabbi Yosi seems to be saying that a person will say something that leaves him open to a suffix, that leaves what he said open to interpretation. So that contradicts what we seem to be saying in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it's the other way around. Rav Meir is saying that Gdola can mean any of the three older girls. Ktana can mean any of the three younger girls. Whereas Rav Yosi says it means only the oldest or only the youngest, respectively. Exactly the opposite of how they're saying it in Nedarim, as far as Pesach. So, Amar Rav Chanina bar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav, Mukhlef is Hashita. As a matter of fact, yes, you have to switch around the opinion. You have to say, Rashi says, that the Mishnah in Nedarim, you have to flip around the opinion. Rav Meir would be the one who says he's also until Pesach is over, and Rav Yosi would have to be the one who says that he's also only until Pesach begins. So therefore, that would fit with our Mishnah. And in fact, V'ha Tanya, and indeed, thus we learn in a Braisa, Zehakwal, Kol Shezmane Kavua, the general rule is anything that has a fixed time, for example, Pesach, it has a known date on the calendar, V'amar Ad Pnei, and you say that you're going to be, that this neder is going to be effective until the Pnei of that occasion, Rav Meir Amar Sheyetze, Rav Yosi Amar Sheyagia, Rav Meir would say till it's over, Rav Yosi would say until it arrives, which is exactly when we're flipping around the opinions, then that matches what we'd be saying in the Mishnah. Rashi points out, by the way, which we learned in Nedarim as well, the point of mentioning Kol Shemana Kavua is as opposed to you have things that where there's not a fixed time for them. For example, here we're talking about a person makes a neder, let's say until Pesach or until Pnei Pesach or whatever. What if a person makes a neder, for example, until the harvest or until Pnei the harvest? Now the harvest, there's no definitive time. Some people do it earlier. Some people do it later. Then definitely everybody would agree you're only also until it starts. Because that you can't say there's no fixed amount of time that you can say it takes X amount of days
to finish.
You don't know when it's going to start. You don't know when it's going to finish. So therefore, just when it starts, then it means when people are starting to harvest. Yeah. Okay. Abaya, machlokes. However, we're going to revisit this soon. So wait, we'll see.
It's not definitive.
It's not this that we said that we have to flip around the opinions of Rameyer and Rizzi is not yet definitive. We'll revisit it in a few lines. Sometimes we have a braisa that if we didn't flip around the opinion, the braisa would contradict the Mishnah. So like this, when we have that Mishnah in Nedarim, not only contradicts our Mishnah in Kedushin, but also contradicts the braisa in connection with Hilchos Nedarim, then it's a logical thing to say that we should flip around the opinion.
That
what we thought, Rav Meir said, is really
right.
Because
they had these
right
decisions by heart. Exactly.
I'm going to buy machlokas b'shtei kitei bonus. This whole machlokas between a mayor and a Yosi is in our Mishnah is when you have two sets of girls. Again, you have two girls from the first wife, two girls from the second wife, let's say. Abba b'vasachas, but let's say you just have a bunch of girls from one wife. Divra hako g'dayla mamash k'tana mamash. Because then everybody would agree that g'dayla means only the eldest one. K'tana would only mean the youngest one. Because emtsoyis, any of the middle daughters, b'shma karila. You're not going to say, the whole point is the guy in the Mishnah said, I was makadosh my biti g'dayla, my older daughter, and we don't know which one means the older or the same thing as the younger. Like this, if he has, for example, three or four or five girls from one wife, they're all one unit. So the older one he can call older, the younger one he'll call younger, any of the middle ones he'll call by name. When there's two sets of girls, you could argue Gdola can mean any of the ones from the first group. It's not so obvious necessarily.
How can, if there's one group of daughters,
Fine, because the same argument that we said before, that maybe Gdola means any one that's eldest and then that's elder than the next one. No, we're not saying that. We're saying when it's all one group of girls, then we don't say that. Well, Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masna Labaya, however, Rav Adar Bar Masna Astabaya, Elamei Asa, then by that logic that you're saying, then by that logic, never mind. So never mind if you have them all from one wife. What if you have, for example, let's assume that the second, why are we assuming that the two groups of girls in our Mishnah are each of two girls, Dafka, only an older and a younger one? What about, for example, the middle girl in the second group? Yeah, let's say you have two from the first group, three from the second group. The middle one and the middle girl in the second group ought to be mutter. Because again, you're not going to call her Gdola. You're not going to call her, if there were only two girls in the second group, yeah, you could call the elder one Gdola relative to her younger sister from that mother. Or you could call her Ktana relative to her sisters from the first wife. But the Mishnah didn't specify how many girls there are in the second group. By your logic, the Mishnah should be telling us that if you have that only the eldest or youngest, as the case may be, from the second group would be suffered kedushin, not the middle one from the second group, because you would call her by name. Oh, my answer is Hachamai Abaya. What answer? Hachamai Eskin. B'shein Shem Alexelo Kana. Fine, but you know what? The Mishnah is talking about where there's only two girls in the second group. But Hachinam. Well, depending on whether we're talking the Gdola or the Kana case, but yeah. But Hachinam and Misnabra. And in fact, that seems to be logical. De'im Issa, De'ika, because if you're going to argue that the Mishnah might have been talking about a case where there's a middle girl in one or the other of the groups, where there are three or more girls in each of the groups, listen, then in fact, the Mishnah should have told us so. The Mishnah should have told us that, like this, because look, when the Mishnah tells us that the father says, I don't know whether it means the eldest of the older group or the youngest of the elder group, etc. Why didn't the Mishnah say anything about the middle one? Obviously, we must be talking about it's only two and two. Okay, the Gemara says, V'litaymech, fine, but according to your logic, and so is Shabbat Rishona, Devade Sfeika, Vasidolam, Mikatani Lo. After all, think of the first group. Again, in the case when he says Gdola, you could still argue that Gdola means any of the girls from the first group. Because after all of them are Gdolas relative to the second group.
Then she said Gdola.
He said Kidashti, Vidya Gdola, and I'm not sure which one.
And if he has two wives, at the same time.
Never mind the same time. Actually, the reason why we mentioned yesterday, the reason why we said the scenario is that he has two wives, one after the other, is in order to make it clear what the situation is, that all the girls from the older group are older than the girls from the second group. Fine, but that's what we're talking about. That's the scenario. We're not talking about where they might be interleaved or whatever. That's a whole different matter. Then that's what Abaya is saying. That's it. But what we're asking on Abaya is like this. Think of it. He says Kidashi is Bitya Gdola, we're saying Gdola can even include the younger daughter from the first group because she is older than any of the girls from the second group. Well, then, obviously, that would include the middle one from the first group as well. Yet the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just says that it might mean the eldest of the older group, the youngest of the older group, or the eldest of the second group. Doesn't say anything about the middle one from the first group, even though by that logic you would have to say she is Osir. So therefore, it seems that just because the Mishnah is not mentioning it doesn't really prove anything one way or the other.
It's not relative.
We're arguing that Gdola is relative. According to the mayor, it's relative. According to the mayor in our Mishnah, it's relative. The Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. Fine, but how are you, how do you think to make such a comparison? How do you think to say that because the first case, because the older group necessarily has to be of two girls, therefore the younger group necessarily has to be of two girls? The Tana had to mention that even the youngest daughter of the first group is Osir. Obviously, then that would include any girls from that group that are older than her. So the Mishnah did not have to tell us whether there are two or three or however many girls in the first group, because obviously, if even the youngest one from that group can be considered Gdola, how much more so any elder sisters of hers in that group could be considered Gdola?
The whole first group is called Gdola.
The whole first group, in other words, is called Gdola.
Yeah, but what's the question?
The question is, you're thinking that because the Mishnah didn't tell us that there were three girls in the first group, therefore, by analogy, there can't be three girls in the second group, because otherwise the Mishnah should have told us so. The difference is that you can't make that analogy. In the case of the older group, the Mishnah has no reason to tell us how many there are, because it's obvious. Once you say even the youngest one in that group is suffered kedushin, how much more so the middle one or whatever? Halcha, but in the case of the last group, Im Issa de Ika, if there is in fact a third one in the group, Nisye, then it should have to say so in order to clarify which of the ones, given that in the second group not all of them are Osir, we're saying the youngest one is not, we would have to, the Mishnah would have to clarify whether the middle one, if there is a middle one, is Osir or not. Since it didn't, obviously the Mishnah must be talking about a case where there's only two in the youngest group. Therefore we can say Abaye is right after all. If there was a middle one, Shitaka would be Osir. The Mishnah is not talking about that. But the Mishnah is not talking about that case.
Specifically.
Yes. Amalei Rav Huna Breder Vishur L'Rava. However, Rav Huna Breder Vishur asks Rava on this. Ha Pesach. But consider the case of Pnei Pesach that we said a few minutes ago. D'kikat Achas Dami. Now that is similar to there being one group of girls. You don't have, there's not more than one Pesach a year. There's only one Pesach a year. Upligi. And yet we see that there's a Machlokas. Of whether we consider you had again we said we may have to flip around the opinions or whatever, but we have the one opinion that ad pnei Pesach means until the beginning of Pesach. Once the beginning of Pesach comes, then you already have a certain amount of time has passed when there's no more pnei Pesach. There's no more of the entrance of Pesach has already passed. Whereas the other way of looking at it is there's still yet more days to come. Pnei Pesach can mean, we said, it can mean until there's still a time left when there's still more Pesach to go, which would mean, therefore, till the end of Yom Tov. So it's similar to Katakas. It's not similar to there being two groups of girls. It's similar to there being one group. And yet we have the Machlokas, whether the middle ones are included or not. Why shouldn't we say they also argue on the middle girls? So even if you have five girls from one wife, why shouldn't we say that they're arguing whether the second, the third, or the fourth are included as well? Amalei, so Rava answers him, actually, the machlokas there is not really on the question of whether a person would get himself into a suffix or not, like we assumed before. Rather, the machlokas is just on the lashon. When people use this lashon, what do they mean? When people say the word pnei Pesach, what do they mean? Mar savad pnei Pesach means ad kamei Pesach. That pnei Pesach means until before Pesach. The other one holds that pnei can mean meloshin mefane, meloshin Pesach is removed. Until Pesach is removed, meaning until Pesach is over. So it's not a question of whether a person would get himself. That's a good example. So therefore, so it's just a matter of what does the loshin mean. It's not a question of whether a person would put himself into a suffix or not. Now, that seems to mean then, according to this, it comes out then, the Gemara seems to be saying, in the end, we don't have to flip around the opinion. That Mishnah in Nedarim is not contradicting our Mishnah in Kedushin, and therefore there's no need to flip around Rav Meir and Rav Yossi's opinion.
So how would you explain it if we didn't change the...
If we didn't change it around, we would say that in our Mishnah, yes, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi are arguing over the question, will a person get himself into a suffix situation? Will he say something that has an equivocal meaning? In Nedarim, rather, the issue is, it's not a question of does the thing have an equivocal meaning. What does the average person mean when he says Pnei Pesach? Lashon Ne'adim, basically. Because you said in Nedarim, Allah Kacha Lashon Ne'adim. And so that's the question. So Rav Meir would say that it means until the beginning of Pesach. Rav Yossi would say until it means until the end. Ad the Mifni Pesach, until Pesach is over. That's the question. You have to figure out which one is Lashon Ne'adim. It may be that they're in different places, they have different Lashonis, whatever. Based on that, now it's interesting, the Rambam, usually we have the rule, when you have a Machlokas Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, usually the Halacha is like Rav Yossi. However, here the Rambam paskins in that case in the Nedarim about Pnei Pesach, he paskins like Rav Meir. Why? Because our Gemara said Machlokas Hashita, they have to flip around the opinion. But how does that fit with what we're saying over here with the end of the sugya?
It doesn't.
Well, the one answer is. First of all, one answer is that not necessarily. The Gemara has found a way to answer that Mishnah. The fact is, we still have a Braisa that contradicts that Mishnah. It's still maybe valid the same. We'll call it a after all. It may be the reasoning in Nedarim is not the same reasoning as over here, but nevertheless, the Gemara told us you have to flip around the opinions. The Gemara didn't explicitly say otherwise. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is because the sugya in Nedarim itself also discusses this issue, and there it just concludes that Mechleses Hashita does not go on with this discussion over here. So therefore, the Rambam may have figured the sugya in Nedarim is the main thing, since that's where the actual thing is being talked about. Here it's being talked about incidentally, and therefore better to pass him like that. With that said, there are other fine, but the point is, in Nedarim is where we're discussing the actual question of what Pnei Pesach means. If the Gemara there says that you have to flip around the opinion, then the Rambam may have felt that that's how you have to do. Our Gemara says differently. Okay, but in our Gemara it's just being brought as an incidental thing. It's there, that's the main place where you talk about
Nedarim. So it really is a contradiction. You could reconcile it,
But since in the Nedarim they don't.
Since in the Nedarim they don't, then the Rambam leaves the hat, right? Well, but that's the thing. There's also the other argument is that just because our Gemara is finding a way to end for that Mishnah doesn't mean that we're undoing the fact that we flip around that Mishnah. So what we're saying is ultimately, I mean, we have the machlokas, Reb Meir and Reb Yosi. In our Mishnah, the halacha is like Reb Yosi, because again, usually the halacha is like Reb Yosi. In the case of Nedarim, again, because if we say Mechulatas Hashita, if we say Epoch, then comes out the halacha is what we quoted originally in the name of Reb Meir, and what the Gemara is now saying really is the opinion of Reb Yosi.
So why does
the bottom line is the halacha is like a Yosi. When he says Gdola, he means only the eldest of the oldest set. Only the oldest of the four daughters. In the case where he says Tana, he means only the youngest of the four daughters. None of the second set. The youngest of the second set.
So the oldest always means the
oldest means only the first marriage. One. The oldest from the first marriage. Tana means the youngest from the second marriage. And if there is an emtsois, then yes, since we leave what Abaya is saying is valid, we didn't shlug him up after all. Then if there's an emtsois, then she's not in the running anyway.
So she's not in suffering.
There's no suffix on her either, right?
Okay, so the bottom line is that
there's no suffix at all, then, basically. When he says, Kidashi, it's Bitya Gdola, it Davka means the eldest one. Again, as long as she's not a Begeret. As we said yesterday, if she's a Begeret, that's a whole other matter. Yeah. Mishnah says, Ha'im ala isha kidashtich, v'hi emeres loy kidashtani. If a man says to a woman, I was Mekadosh you, and she says, you will not Mekadosh me. So now, what he's accomplished by saying, I was Mekadosh you, it's called, we don't say, therefore, that she's going to require a get from him, but, we'll talk about in the Gemara whether she will or not. For the moment, let's assume that not. But the point is, he says, I was Mekadosh you, she denies it. What happens is, it's called Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Di Surah. He, by his declaration, has declared her also, or declared her relatives, rather, also to him. We know when you're a Mekadosh woman, you become also immediately in seven different relatives of hers, her mother, her grandmother, her daughter, her granddaughter, etc. So therefore, by him saying that, Shavya Nafsha, Tichadi Sura, he made her relatives also to him.
So we're saying the Kiddushin is Chali?
No, the Kiddushin are not Chal, but he is also to marry any of those women. Ever. Because he said that she was Mekadosh.
But she didn't accept it.
Doesn't matter. The fact that he said I was Mekadosh you, so a couple of Achronim talk about how this concept of, no, there's a general concept in Halacha, Shavya Nafsha Chatecha Di Sura. If a person declares something is also to him, then it's also. How that works is a couple of different approaches that Achronim take. One way of looking at it is sort of like a neder, just like the same way a person has the ability to declare that something is also to him by a neder. The same thing, he's declaring that I was Mekadosh you, meaning therefore implicitly that I'm also to marry your mother. Fine, then he's also to marry her mother. That's one. Yeah. The other way of looking at it is the Ktzoyt HaChoshen takes the view of it, that what it is it's based on the idea of Nemonos. There is a concept that we'll talk about later on Amud Beis, the concept that Hadas Bal Din Kamei Edim Dami, that a person commits to something in Beis Din, it has a very strong validity as if there were Edim. So fine, it's as if there were Edim for the Kedushin. Not to the extent of asking her to marry anybody else, fine, but to the extent that he is also to marry her relatives.
Well, that's the question. If he doesn't, she's not also to marry anybody.
Let's learn the Gemara and we'll see. Wait.
There is a question.
So wait.
Yeah,
no, you're going to see. She's there. Okay. Hold on. Okay. How about the other way around? He emeres kidashani v'huor meloi kidashtich. What if the other way around? She says, you were mekadosh me. He denies it. The other way around. Hu mutter b'krevaseh, he asur b'krevav. He will be mutter to marry her relatives. However, she will be also to marry his relatives. Shouldn't she be also to everybody if she said she's mekudeshes? Ah. So there are a couple
of tradition around Kala. Could she be
asked to everybody? No, but again, Shavin Aksha, but there are a couple, it's a good question, and the answer is a couple of Acharonim discussed, like Karban Asano and some others discussed that what would happen, for example, if this guy who she claimed was Mekadosher, if he died. Fine, she's now mutter to the whole world because he died, but she's still also to his relatives because Shavi Nafsha Chatecha Bezura, because she declared that you were Mekadosh me, which automatically makes his father or his brother or whoever also to her.
Even after
he dies, yeah. Another case, Kidashtich v'hi emeres lo kidashta el abiti. What if he says to a woman, I was Mekadosh you? She says, you weren't Mekadosh me, you were Mekadosh my daughter. Well, who also the Krevis Gdola? Well, he again, Shavi Nafsha Chatecha Di Sura, therefore he is also to marry the mother's relatives. Ugdola Mukteris Bukrova, however, she is allowed to marry his relatives because she denied the condition. Hum Mutter Bukrovis Kana, however, he is also Mutter to marry any of the relatives of the Kana, which who are not relatives of the mother, obviously. Uktana Mutteris Bukrova, who are not relatives of Midoraita, that is, anyway. Uktana Mutteris Bukrova, and conversely, the Kana would be allowed to marry any of his relatives because, as the Gemara is going to say, the Torah did not give the mother Ne'amonos to say that her daughter was Mekodesh. The Torah gives the father that Ne'amonos, as we talked about yesterday, but not the mother. Another case, Kidashti is Bitech. What if a man says to a woman, I was Mekodesh your daughter, but he had married like Kidashti Ela Oisi? She says, no, you were Mekodesh me. So then, who also the Krivis Kana? So again, he, because Shavi Nafsha Khatika the Isura, is also to marry any of the younger woman's relatives. Uktana Mukeris the Kriv, she's allowed to marry any of his relatives, because she, Bakhlal, wasn't involved over here. She wasn't involved over here, and the mother anyway says, I was you and Makadash, you and Makadash me. Who Mutter the Kriv is Gdola, Gdola also the Kriv, that he's allowed to marry any of the relatives of the Gdola, because he's not saying that he was Makadash, but she's also to marry any of his relatives, because Shavi Nafsha Khatika the Isura, because she says you were Makadash. Okay, so the first case,
that's
Sharon,
that's
about
nine.
Yeah, okay.
One is completely
affected the other. Okay. So Gemara says, start off now, Ha'imah Le'isha Kidashti. Well, listen, we had all these various cases in the Mishnah. Why do we need all these cases? Well, Tzricha, we need all these cases. The Iyashmin and Gabadidei, or at the very least, the Gemara is going to say, the Gemara is talking about we need the first two cases, where he says, I was Makadosh you, and she says, you were not. And the case where she says you were Makadosh me and he says I was not. Why do we need both of those? The Yashmin Gabidi Day, if the Mishnah had only told us the case where he says I was Makadosh you, we say that she doesn't become usher in his relatives just because he said so, because after all, who says, he doesn't care so much, he can feel free to say, I was Makadosh you, he has nothing to lose by it.
Really.
He can marry somebody else also, so therefore, Mikri Omar, he might just well say something without carefully checking it out. So therefore you could argue that's not a reason to answer her in his relatives just on his data. Aval Ihi, but when it comes to her, when she says, you were Makadosh me, which Ema Ilav Kim Labadibura Lehavasamra, if she didn't know for sure, she wouldn't have said so, because after all, it does after her to the whole world, as long as he's alive and doesn't give her a get. So you would think maybe that's a strong enough reason to after him to marry any of her relatives. Kamash Malam, that is the Chiddush, that even in that case, we don't say that. Yes, it's true, she has more to lose by saying Kidashtani. Nevertheless, though, her saying Kidashtani is not strong enough, if he denies it, to after him to marry any of her relatives. That's how it is. It's Shavi Nafsha Chatecha Deizurim. Okay. Next. Kidashtich v'hi emeres. What about the case of where he says, I was Makadosh you, and she says, no, you were Makadosh my daughter. What's the chiddush in that? Hatu lomali. What's the chiddush in that? The answer is itzra. Sakudat hamina, because you would think to say, midaraisa heimne rachmona la'av, you would think, midaraisa, we said yesterday, is that the Torah gives ne'monos to the father, that he has the ne'monos to say that his daughter was Mekodesh. You would think, midarabonon heimne rule that he does. You would think by the same logic that Abonon maybe believed the mother as well. Especially, the Rosh points out, I mean, let's say, for example, we're talking about a case where this daughter, let's say, is a Yisoma, her father is dead. So we know Midrabanan that Abanan gave her mother or her brothers the ability to be Makadasher in order that the people shouldn't be knowing in her minig hesker as within the Yubamas. So you would think once that Abanan made that takana that the mother can be Makadasher, maybe that Abanan also gave her Ne'amonos to say that she was Makadash. Vetitza brata b'divura. Therefore, you would think maybe her daughter should be able to become Osir in his relatives based on her say. So Kamash Malam, that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah then.
Marry
that she can marry whoever she wants. Yeah.
She can marry her daughter, but she can't.
But she doesn't have the ne'amonos to say without Edim that it actually happened. Okay. What about the case Kidashti as Bitech? What about the other way around, where he says, I was Makadosh your daughter, and she says, no, you were Makadosh me? Hatru Lomali. What do we need to say that also? I didn't. Tananami Ha. Fine, that's just for parallelism. Once the Mishnah mentioned the case where he says, I was Makadosh you, and she says, no, my daughter, so for completeness' sake, the Mishnah also mentions the other way around, even though there's no particular chiddush in that. Itmar. So now we have a discussion of Aberoyim. Rav Amakofin, Rav says that we force him, which sounds like it means we force him to give her a hello. It sounds like it means we force him to give her a gift. We're going to talk about that in a couple of lines, the details. We're Shmuel Amar Mavakshin, and Shmuel says we don't force him to give her a gift, but we ask him to give her a gift. So first of all, we have to figure out, which part of the Mishnah is this machloikas of Rav and Shmuel referring to? Elaim Aresha. Are you talking about that it's referring to the Resha, where he says Kidashtich and she says Loi Kidashtani? Lav Koifenikov Lav Mavakshinikov. Why? He says I was Mitzvah to you. She says I wasn't. She's anyway allowed to marry whoever he wants. There's no reason to force him to give her a get. No reason to ask him to give her a get. She's Mutter to marry whoever she wants anyway because she denied it. He's the only one who lost out by marrying, can't marry any of her relatives. The Shavi Nafsha Hatikha Desura. Where can you talk about Koifen or Mavakshin in that sense? Ella Aksefa. So fine, let's say talking about the sentence. The other
cannot be the ratio.
So it can't be the ratio because there'd be no reason. There'd be no logical reason to force him to give her get or to request him to give her get. She's not also to marry anybody anyway. There should be more Gemaras in the bench over there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Right. We had a whole pile. Okay. Look inside the bench over there. So Ella Aksefa. So Shlomo of action Lachayit. Fine, we can understand the sefer why we should ask him to give her a get. Given that she's saying you were Makadosh Mu, and that's going to make her also to everybody. So fine, it makes sense. We can ask her. You know what? It's true you're denying it. What do you have to lose to free her in order to make sure that she should be able to marry somebody else? Give her a get. Ella Kofin Amai. Why should you force it? Omar, it's a mikriva. He should be able to say, I didn't. Not only I didn't do anything, I'm going to lose out by it. If I give her a get, she's claiming that I was mekadosher. If I give her a get, which amounts to agreeing that I was mekadosher, I'm going to be also to marry her relative. I don't want that. I want to be able to marry her mother or her sister or whatever.
Yes, why? Give her money, $200.
That we're going to get to. That we're going to get to in a few lines. Wait. Ella, no. We have to say
there was no kiddushin. He has to give her money.
Wait. Hold on. Don't get too excited. Let's figure that out. We'll get to that soon. Wait. Okay. We're jumping the gun a little bit over here. Wait.
But he asked the question.
Fine. Just a minute. Let's run. We'll figure out the question. Okay. Ella, no. What we mean, no. So we have to, up until, so we started by assuming that Rav is saying one thing, Shmuel is saying, is arguing with it, Kofin versus Mavakshin, and that's why we're asking, how is it possible that, how does that fit with either case in the mission? No. Ella Shmaitza Adodi Yitma. What it actually is the two statements of Rav and Shmuel are complementary. They're not arguing with each other. Shmuel is adding something on top of what Rav said. Namely, Omar Shmuel Mavakshin, the other way around. Rav actually is adding to what Shmuel said. Number one, it's like this. Omar Shmuel Mavakshin Menelitin Get. Shmuel starts off by saying we have to ask him to give her a get in that case. Fine, we can't force him, because like you say, he may lose out. Omar Rav, and now Rav comes in and says, Im Nosan Get Me Asmai. If he went and gave a get on his own without being asked to, Kofinoto Litin Ksuba. Then we force him to pay a Ksuba. Because then, Mela, if you asked him to give her a get, fine. You know, you don't want to make him lose out by that. But if he himself voluntarily came and gave her a get, obviously it means he really was Mekadosher. Well, if he was Mekadosher, she should have a Ksuba. Now,
he said there's no condition.
No. We're saying that. But by giving her a get voluntarily,
on his recognition,
by giving her a get voluntarily, he's effectively admitting that there was condition.
But she still needs to give her approval.
What? This is the case where she said you were Mekadosh Me.
She said you were
Mekadosh Me. He denied. There's no. Well, okay, so that brings close to this question. We'll get to that in a second. Let's first discuss the actual scenario over here. She said you were Mekadosh Me. He denied it. Now, though, we're saying if he voluntarily comes to give her a get, by voluntarily, without even being asked, come to give her a get, it implies that he is admitting that he was Mekadosher. Well, if he was Mekadosher, then fine. Yeah, then pay up.
Even if he did not initially?
Yes. The Rashba does say one exception to that. The Rashba does say, if he's a Tamar Chacham, and he knows that the only reason he's giving her this get is not, that by giving her the get, he's not really admitting that he was Mekadosher, but rather he's doing it just in order to free her from being an Agrona, then we won't make him pay a Ksuba. But an ordinary person who comes voluntarily, who doesn't know that kind of din, we will. Actually, it's interesting. They point out that Ashba has the Ashba doesn't bring this as a proof, but other Achronim bring it as a proof, a story in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first Pedic, has a series of stories about various great figures in Jewish history who acted in a way not to embarrass other people in public. One of them is a story with a mayor. A woman one day walks into the mayor's Beis Medrash and says, one of the people in this Beis Medrash was Mekadesh me, but I don't know who it was. I think actually she says he was Mekadesh me to be it, which is a pretty specific thing to do, as we learned in. So what happens? The mayor goes and has a get written out for her in his own name, and all the Talmidim followed suit. Now, obviously, it wasn't a mayor, it was one of the Talmidim, but he did that in order that the person who it was not to have to expose him publicly. And the Gemara gives that as one of a series of examples over there of people who acted like that.
So the question is, he's allowed to do this or not?
No, the point of the matter is, we see the mayor is not worried about that he's going to give her a get, and so does everybody else, and then she's going to turn around and sue them all for ksuvos, because they're all Talmidim Chachamim. That fits with what the Rashba is saying. That if he's doing it as a Talmud Chacham just to free you from being an aguna, then we're not going to you. Now you're mentioning, Naftali, what about whether it is a suba or not? So Tosfos mentions on this that therefore we see, you learn from this actually, that yes, there is a suba even mina erisin, even if you don't have an actual suba written, because if she had a suba written, obviously that would be a very strong proof that he was a kaddish. So we have to be talking about there's no written suba, it's only mina erisin. Yes, the Gemara is saying she's entitled to a suba. So, Aison is the first part. Kiddushin, yeah. However, there are other Rishonim who say differently. The Ramban, I think, for example, says not necessarily. Because we could be talking about, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that there were places where they had the minhag to write the Ksuba even before the Kiddushin. Well, very well then. If she has a Ksuba in her hand, doesn't necessarily prove that there was Kiddushin. But in that case, fine. That's another case. That's actually another one of the Rishonim. I don't remember, maybe the Ritva points out another possibility. Let's say, for example, there's a ksuba, but the husband claims that, we don't even know if he's a husband or not, the guy claims that it's forged. The guy claims the signatures are forged. So again, if you're asking him to give a get, then you don't want to, he's not going to accept unless he knows there's no financial obligation. So then fine, let him give her a get and she'll be mutter to marry anybody else. But if he voluntarily comes, and again, we're talking one of these scenarios, then we may force him to pay the ksuba. Itmar Nami, in fact,
how about they actually get married?
Well, they could also get married. That is also true. Itmar Nami, they said also Amar Rav Acha ba'ada Amar Rav, Amar Lo Amar Rav Acha ba'ada Amar Rav Amnuna Amar Rav. So either it's directly from Rav or via Rav Amnuna. Koyfinim of action, we force him and we request him. So again, that's clarity. What do you mean? Both? How is both? Halakama, mavakshin men lutin get means we ask him to give a get. The im not in the ask, but. And then, if we didn't even have to ask him, he came and voluntarily gave it the get. Koyfinim of lutin ksuba, then we force him to give the ksuba. Same thing that we just said.
Nice guy, yes, that's, you get people's hands.
Yeah, but that's
a trap.
He doesn't have to come voluntarily give the gift.
He didn't know.
If he waits, and then says, let him wait until they ask him or whatever.
Well, he knows he wasn't a kaddisher.
Oh, well, he's denying it. We don't know. I mean, he says that we don't know for sure. We don't know him, which brings us to the next thing. Omer of Yehuda, ha-mekadosh ve'ed echad, if somebody is mekadosh with one aid, ein choshen mekadosha, we're not concerned about that tradition. It has no validity. Omer name of Yehuda, however, they asked Rav Yehuda, shneim moedim mai, fine. If there was kiddushin with one aid and one or the other of them denies it, like the cases in our Mishnah, fine, I can understand an aid echad doesn't count right. What if both of them agree and there's one aid? Is that considered a valid kiddushin or not? Basically, the question is, Rashi doesn't put it in these words. The words that I'm going to put it in are sort of the words, the brisker type words. But are the edim aided birur or aided kiyum? Are the edim that you need in order to establish the truth of the fact? In that case, if both of them agree, you don't need it. Or is it aided kiyum? Without them, the thing has not happened. Without them, the kiddushin is not a kiddushin. That's basically the question. If it's aid kiyum and there's only one aid, it wouldn't help because you need two aid.
Even if both of them agree.
Yeah. The same way, for example, when it comes to dinin nefashos, the aidim are aid kiyum. Without aidim, there's no chiyum mitzvah. You could argue the same thing over here. Or you could argue not. You could argue that all you needed is to prove that the thing happened. Or again, Rashi puts it differently. Rashi says that what it is that we may learn out Gzeirah Shavah from Dover from Dinei Mominus. Dinei Mominus you need to aid. You must be Shnai made him from Dover. Therefore, by Arayas, when it says he must be Ervas Dover, if we learn that Gzeirah Shavah, we would say that you need to aid him for Kedushin as well. So the answer is, so he had Ein Veloy Verafi B'Yodeh. He said yes, no. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. Verafi B'Yodeh was like weak in his hands. Like Rabbi Yehuda wasn't sure what the answer should be. Itmar, so now they had a discussion about it. Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, HaMakadosh Be'edechot, Ein Choshev HaKedoshav. We're definitely not Choshev HaKedoshav. V'Afi L'Shneim Moedim. No, even if both of them admit, no good. The Edim are Edi Biru, or Edi Kiyum, not just Edi Biru. Without two Edim, there is no Kedoshav. So says Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. Eitzver Rav Lo Rav Nachman. So Rav asks Rav Nachman, what about our Mishnah? Ha'imel isha kidashtich v'hi ameres le'kidash dani. Who also b'krivet seh v'hi materes b'krivet. So this case where one of them says you were makadish me and the other one denies it. You have to ask, what's the situation? If there are edim, am I materes b'krivet? Why should she be mutter in that case to marry his krivet? There are edim that he was makadish her. Tough luck, she's denying it. She's being contradicted by edim. The Edelecha Edim, and if there's no Edim at all, am I also a Krivisel? Why would he even be author in her relatives? If there's no Edim at all, then even according to him, there's no Kedushin, because you need, on the face of it, you need at least one aid. Fine, Shavinach Shachdech Bisura, but you still need some kind of evidence for it. That's the thing. Rashi says, because the poetry is like this. We know by Dinim Mominus, you need two Edim to actually establish the truth of something and to actually, for example, make Reuben pay Shimon money. One aid is not enough to take money from Reuben to Shimon, but it's enough to make Reuben swear. By that, by analogy over here, we could argue one aid is enough already to say that one aid might be enough to say that at least there's a Kedushin in the sense that if he said there was Kedushin and there's one aid backing him up, then fine, that'll be enough. But not when there's no Edim at all. That shouldn't even be that he's also in her relatives. Elalav the Eid Echad. Evidently, the Mishnah is talking about Eid Echad. So you see that even when there's Eid Echad, it does have a certain validity. So what are you telling me? What is Rav Nachman telling me? Ein Choshen the Kedusha, that we're not Choshen, there's no Kedusha here at all. From the Mishnah, it seems there's at least some level of Kedusha.
Lav Eid Echad is the case where...
Isn't it? Must it not be that our Mishnah is talking about this Eid Echad? So he says, I was Makadosh you, and I have one aid to prove it. She says no. So okay, she's not Makudish in the sense that she's mutter to marry anybody, and she's mutter to marry his relatives. Fine, with him, we'll say Shavi Nafshe Chatechet V'Yisura, but you have to have one aid at least, otherwise there's nothing to it.
You can't make it swear.
It's not Dini Mominus, there's no issue of swear.
What would happen if there's one aid then?
That's what we're asking. On the face of it, our Mishnah has to be talking about one aid. So you, Rav Nachman, are telling me in the name of Shmuel that Ein Chosh in the Kedushin, there's nothing to talk about, nothing ever happened over here. From the Mishnah, it seems something did happen over here. No, he answers, no, because the Mishnah could be talking about he says, I actually was Makadosh you in front of two Edim, but now they went overseas. They're not available to ask right now. Therefore, it's my word against yours. But there really were two Edim at the time. And if those two Edim were to show up, then it would be an absolute 100% condition, and you would require a guest, etc. So Rava further asks Rav Nachman, what about a Mishnah that we learned in Gittin? Hamagarish is Ishtei V'lona Im Mekundaki. Somebody divorced his wife, but then they stayed overnight in an inn. Yeah, we learned this in Gittin. So they stayed overnight in an inn. They were in Yichud together. There's a concern they may have done a new condition of beer. She does not need a second get from him. Or with Salem and Tzuchay Menu Get Sheni, whereas the civil says she does. Again, we have to ask. She doesn't need a set get. We don't, because as the Gemara is going to say soon, we don't assume that there was bia. Wait, we'll get to that soon. Or we're still on the suicide now, get shame. Again, we have to ask, Casey Dummy, what's the scenario over here? If there are two Edim of Bia, now not when we say Edim of Bia, we don't literally mean that they saw commit Chobosh Referes. They just it doesn't even have to be. Doesn't even have to be that they saw them Kederach HaManasim. That's when it comes to misfacing. No, what it after? No, when they saw that these two people are going into Yichud and they're saying we're going into Yichud for the purpose of Bia. That's enough.
They had to say that
even if you're not
Because if not, then we're going to discuss soon, not necessarily does Yichud presuppose Bia. We're going to get to that soon. So if there were Edim of Yichud where they clearly said we're doing Yichud for the purpose of Bia, then that's it. And then there's nothing to talk about. Then, of course, you'd need a second get. And if there's no Edim at all, my time out of Basilil, why would Basilil say you need a second get? If there were no Edim at all, again, there can't possibly have been Kedushin. Presumably, the Mishnah, again, must be talking about one aid. So you see, according to Basilil, which, of course, the halacha is like them, there's a suffix Kedushin over here. Why? If you, Rav Nachman, are telling me that aid echad, there's no possibility of Kedushin. Rav Nachman can't argue with Basilil. Rav Nachman is an Amora.
Right, but maybe
he can't hold like Bishamai. Come on, Bishamai Makam Bishilol in a Mishnah. When you have Bishamai against Bishilol, in the vast majority of cases, the halacha is not like Bishamai to the extent that nobody even has a possibility of saying the halacha is like Bishamai. Okay, we might ask back, fine, according to your own Svara, you're arguing that that's what the Mishnah means. Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Both Bishamai and Bishilol do agree that if they were divorced only after Erosin, there would never been Nisuin, that she does not need a second get after them being together in this Kundiki, because he's not so comfortable around her, they're not so familiar with each other yet, and therefore we don't have to be so concerned that there was Bia. You have to ask, if you're going to tell me one aid is believed, Mali min Erisin, Mali min Nisuin, who cares whether it was Erisin or Nisuin? Either way, if there were to be one aid, and he were to say we're going into Yichud for the purpose of Bia, wouldn't matter whether it's min Erisin or Nisuin, Gaspa or not Gaspa. So obviously that's not the reasoning behind the Machlok. El, Hocha, my skin is going to be Ika Eide Yichud, the Laka Eide Bia. No, the situation we're talking about right over here is there are two Eidim, but there are only two Eidim on the Yichud, not on the Bia. So the two Edim saw them together in the same room, but they did not see anything that would lead them to believe that there was going to be Bia. No declaration we're doing Yichud for the sake of Bia. No declaration even maybe specifically that we're doing Yichud. They happened to see them together in the same room.
We said just now that if they see them in the same room, it's considered Kiddushin.
No, we said that there needs to be, that at least at the very least they have to at least say we're doing Yichud.
Right.
Maybe they have to say we're doing it for the sake of Bia, maybe not, but at least they have to say we're specifically doing this for the sake of Yichud. As opposed to where the Edom just saw, they're in the same room, but nobody made any declarations or anything.
That's been suffered.
The lack of Edom, Bia. There's no Edom whether there was Bia. Now, Bishamai Sabri, so what is it? The Machlokas is as follows. Bishamai says, Lo Yamrin, Hein Ede Yichud, Hein Ede Bia. Just because we see that there was Yichud, that is not reason enough to give Eidos on Bia. Or Bishilol Sabri, Yamrin, Hein Ede Yichud, Hein Ede Bia. Whereas Bishilol says that, no, once we have Libre Gaspa, once we have the situation where they're comfortable around each other because they were married for some period of time, then once we see that there was Yichud, we have a strong reason to suspect. Anan Sabi, basically, we ourselves are effectively Edim, that if there was Yichud, there was Bia as well. And therefore that we have to deal with the possibility that Bia may have been L'shem Kedushin, and therefore that she'd need another get. Therefore, Moedim Vadev and Eskashim and Erisin. So therefore, they can both agree if the Gedushin were only after Erisin, Doloy Amrin and Hein Eni Yichud, Hein Eni Bia. So again, the scenario is we only have Edim of Yichud. In that case, even Batil would agree that Yichud does not necessarily presuppose Bia, but they shake Libra Gaspa, precisely because they're not so comfortable around each other. There's no reason to assume that their Yichud led to Bia.
If they're
Gaspa, then yes. So that would be the difference. So it's not a question of whether. It's not a question of whether there was one Eid or two Eidim. There were two Eidim of Yichud, but there was zero Eidim of Bia. The only question is, does Yichud necessarily lead to Bia or not? Okay. That's the Machlokas. And the Machlokas also comes in. The Machlokas also comes into the picture. We learned about in Gittin over there. There's a whole discussion also whether we would say Adam Oisa Bi Lasa Bi Lasnus. Would we say that even if we presuppose that there was Bia, can we assume that maybe they just did it L'shem Znus, not L'shem Kedushin, or do we have to assume that it was done L'shem Kedushin, because the person is not going to do a Bi'ilah, which is Znus, when he could just as well do it L'shem Mitzvah? We discussed it in Gittin over there. The halacha is that in a case like this, given that the halacha is like this, we do assume that ein adam oisa bi lasa bi lasa nus. The Rambam mentions he has a big machlokas with the Gaonim, how generally we apply that principle. The Gaonim want to say as a general principle, if you see a man and a woman who had relations, then we should assume that it was done l'shem kedushin. even, for example, the Goyim talk about a case, a man had relations with a shifcha, we should assume that he was mishakra her and then had relations with her, rather than assuming that he did it via lasnus. The Rambam says absolutely not. The Rambam says in cases like this, a specific case like this, where they were married before, yes, there's reason to assume that they're doing it as a new condition. Otherwise, no, you don't say that as a general. Which, by the way, that machlokas comes out as a machlokas in more contemporary times, the whole question of civil marriage. If a couple gets civilly married, but not Jewishly married, not married through the chuppah of a kiddushin, are they considered married lahalacha? It's a well-known machlokas among the Achronim, whether such a woman would need a get. And that has to do with this whole question, whether Adam ought to be lost or not. So that's the question, basically. When a couple, civil marriage, that obviously we're talking with bias, but that's the question, is civil marriage, when they do bias, should we assume that Adonim ought to be lost to be lost and they meant to be validly married, blah, 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 or not? Most contemporary poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein in particular, is known that say that it's not considered a marriage of halacha and therefore they don't need a get, which saves a lot of cases of mamzerim nowadays. It has to do with more than the Rambam. I mean, there's more to deal with it than that. There's also a question here. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing relationship. That may be a whole different matter. But yeah, but there are a minority of contemporary poskim. Rav Yosef Elio Henkin is one famous one who held that not, that it is considered a marriage lahalacha and would require a get. Okay.
If we do the same thing, not one marriage.
That's another question. Would we say, according to the Rambam, we would say, Adam, in that case, Adam Oysa Bilas Bilas Nus, we would have to assume it's Nus, we would have to assume it's not for marriage. If it's just a one-night stand or something, if it's just completely outside of a framework of marriage or whatever, yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Okay. Going back to this concept of Eda, if somebody is Mekadosh with one Ed, in Choshen the Kedusha, we're not concerned about any possibility of Kedushin, even if both of them admit, which is basically what we said on Amar Aleph. Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, and Rabba Bar Avuna says on this, HaMekadosh Be'eda, but if somebody is Mekadosh with one Ed, Beit Din Rabba Amri Ein Choshen the Kedusha, the great Beis Din says that we don't have to be concerned about his Kedusha. Man Beit Din Rabba, who is this great Beis Din that Rabba Bar Avuna is talking about? That is Rab, that is the Beis Din of Rab, which fits with what we just said, in the name of Rab, that Ein Choshen. The Ikad Amri, another version, is Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, Omer Rab. The second version is that Rabba Bar Avuna is reporting this in the name of Rab. That's a great Beis Din says we're not choshish for his kiddushin. So in that case, if it's Rav saying the great Beis Din, he doesn't mean his own Beis Din. Then man Beis Din Rav. In that case, who does Rav mean by the great Beis Din? He means Rebbe. He means the Beis Din of Rebbe, Rabbi Yohanan. However, so far so good. However, of course, the Gemara is going to throw a monkey wrench into it. Masiv Rabachadboy Barak. Rav Chaim Bar Ami says, I have a theory based on a braita that goes as follows. Shnayim shabo m'bedina sayam. If you have two people who come from overseas, two men who come from overseas, the isha imahim, they have a woman along with them, the chavila imahim, and they have along with them a package, which has money or other valuables in it. Ze oyma zu ishti v'ze avdi v'zu chavibasi. The first one says, this woman is my wife. The other guy with us is my slave, my Eved Knani. And the package that we have with me belongs to me. The other one claims the same thing. He says, I'm married to her. The other guy is my Eved, and then the package is mine. The Isha I married us, and she has yet a third claim. Both of these guys are my Avodim, and the package belongs to me. So what happens? She will need two gittin in order to be able to collect her ksuba, because the point is Rashi says like this. Really, we would have to say that the package, because all of them are arguing about it and we don't really know who it belongs to, we should really have to say, Yehem Munachat Shiyav Elio, that we would set it in Beis Din and escrow until one of them admits the truth. However, in this case, if she wants to be able to collect anything from that package, if both of them give her a get, again, may ask Mon, Rashi says, if they give her a gift of their own volition, like we said on Amud Aleph, then she'll be able to collect her ksuba out of this package. Because Mon Apshech, if it belongs to one or the other of them, she's entitled to collect the money of her ksuba out of it. If her claim is correct, that both of them are her avodim and the package is hers, then the whole package belongs to her. So at the very least, she'll be entitled to collect 100 or 200 or whatever it is out of that package. Now, we have to ask.
Can we ask each one what's in the package and who knows?
I don't know that would do any good. I mean, you could, I guess, but I don't know that would prove anything. You know, let's say they all know what's in the package. They've all been traveling together. Mistama, you know, Mistama, the package was opened at some point.
With these people, you don't trust who knows who.
This is all the true, yeah.
Okay. Guys, you can't go on through with
it. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, Chidomi. So now we have to ask the question, what is the scenario over here? Are there Edim or not? Id Isle Sadi Lahai, the Isle Sadi Lahai, if each one has Edim proving their point, Mimotza Amra Ebushne Avadim Chavila Shali, then how would we even believe her to say they're both my Avadim and this is my package? She's being contradicted by two sets of Edim. Now, the fact that you have two contradictory sets of Edim itself might mean that we can't believe either of them. Fine, but we can't believe her against either one of them. We should assume maybe that one or the other set of Edim is telling the truth. Actually, the Ravid points out that it could even be both of them are telling the truth. Imagine, for example, you have one set of Edim saying she's married to Reuven, and another set saying she's married to Shimon. Both of them could be true. She could have married Reuven last year, then he divorced her, and then she married Shimon. So if they're necessarily contradicting each other, if one of them says she married Shimon and Rosh Chodesh Adar, and then the other group says she married Shimon, Rosh Chodesh Adar, fine, there's nothing to talk about. But if there could be a scenario where both of them are telling the truth. But even if not, even if they are both contradicting each other, or even if we don't say that we necessarily can believe both of them, fine, but there's no reason to not. We should argue we can believe either one or the other of them. There's no specific reason to say both of them are lying. In fact, the Gemara talks about scenarios like this in Bava Basra. That the Rashbat talks about it at some length in our Gemara over here. That, for example, you have two sets of Edim that contradict each other. The din is, at some other time, either set of Edim can come to Beis Din. And we talked about this in Ksubas, actually. Either set of Edim can come and give Eders in Beis Din in a different case, because we don't know for sure that either one of them is lying. Right? Yeah. So how would she have any ability to say this package belongs to me and these two guys belong to me as my Avadim? Evidently, we must be talking about that each one only has one aid. Well, returning to our case over here then, so you see that even there's only one aid, where each one has one aid claiming that I was Mekadosher, we seem to be saying that's enough. That's enough to say that at least she needs a get. To say that she needs a get from either of them in order to collect the ksuba.
What about her claim?
Fine, her claim. There's only one aid against each. There's only one aid saying one way and one aid saying the other way. That's not enough to contradict her.
She doesn't
necessarily have an aid of herself of her own. Let's say.
That she's
again, if she had two Edim of her own, there's nothing to talk about. It doesn't really matter whether she has one aid of her own or not. The point is, if either of these guys has one aid, we're saying she needs a get from each of them. Now, that shows that even one aid is enough. So, yeah. Okay. Evelab Eda. You must have a tis bra. How could you think of it that way? Eda Chadak Kosha Mimeim. Evelab Eda. Doesn't it have to mean necessarily that each one of them has one aid? Right. And therefore, that would prove that even if she's denying it, still, the fact that there's one aid against her makes her have to receive a get. How could you think that way? If you have one aid where another aid is contradicting him, forget about her claim. You have one aid against one aid. How is that enough to accomplish anything? Your one aid goes against one aid, and we throw them both out.
If we're saying that there's nothing because one aid contradicts the other aid, that means if there was one aid without the other one's contradiction, it would work.
But then the case in the Braitha was that she needs giving from both of them, implying each of them has an aid. So so that's the point. In other words, if you have one aid being contradicted by another aid, then you have nothing to talk about.
Which implies that if there was not one, there was...
But we don't know what that is because the Braitha doesn't tell us that in that case you would need a get only from that one. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you could argue that the fact of the matter is the case in the Braitha is talking about there are two Edim, each one on each side. Yeah, okay. Ella, no. L'mishri la'amla d'kulam l'tzigid d'shari. No. When it comes to her being mutter to marry anybody else, everybody would agree because each one of them only has one aid supporting his version of events, then she doesn't need a get for that purpose to marry some third party. All we're saying is, which we said at the beginning, She needs 2-8. What does she need? What does she need to get in only in order that Manapshach shall be able to collect her ksuba out of that package? And this would be according to the mayor. Dama Metalkalin, Mishtabi Laksuba. Rameir says that even Metalkalin are under a Shibur to the Ksuba. The Chachamim disagree, as we learned in Ksuba, that usually only land is Meshubud to the Ksuba, at least until the Gaonim made a Takana otherwise. No, but that's the point, in other words. If she didn't receive a get from one or the other of them, she would not be able to collect anything in that package because she's saying the package belongs to me. Very nice, but each of them is saying the package belongs to me. And one or the other of them is saying, one or the other of them is saying, I'm married to her. But if each of them gives her a get, so now they're no longer married to her, now we can say, if Reuben was married to her and the package was his, fine, she's entitled to collect her sub out of it. If Shimon was married to her and the package was his, same thing. If neither of them were married to her and the package belonged to her, really, she'd be entitled to the whole thing. We can't prove she's entitled to the whole thing. Fine, she'll be entitled to 200 zuz out of it. So that's what we mean. We don't mean that the Edim create the requirement for a get. The one aid on each side creates the requirement for a get. We mean the fact that there's a package over here, if she wants to be able to get anything out of that package, she's going to need gifting from both of them. But if she doesn't
prove that she was married to begin with.
Because either way, one way or the other, again, once gifted or given, the package, some part of the package belongs to her, however you look at it.
But it's calling it a ksuba.
Fine, you're calling it a ksuba.
It's not really about
the point is it's the money. It's all about the money.
But it's ksuba without marriage.
No, it's not a ksuba without marriage. She has to collect the amount that would be a ksuba if there was a ksuba. Doesn't matter. The point is, either way, it's the 200 zuz that would constitute a ksuba if that's what it means. That's the amount that she'll be able to collect. Okay, my havi Allah, fine. What's the bottom line as far as this whole question of kedushin with one aid? And Mefarshim point out, the question now in the Gemara is not so much if one of them is denying it or not. That we discussed already. We said that there's no reason to think that there would be any problem with it then if one or the other of them is denying it. We're back to the case of if both of them agree to it, which we said at the beginning of the sugya, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't sure. So what's the din on that? Rav Kahana Amar in Choshen the Kedushah. So in that case, Rav Kahana says we do not have to be Choshesh. Rav Papa Amar Choshen the Kedushah. And Rav Papa says in that case, we do have to be concerned if there's only one aid and both of them are agreeing about the Kedushah. Amar Le Rav Ashi Le Rav Kahana, my Gaita. So what are you thinking? Why are you saying that even in that case, there's no Kedushah? The Yalpas Dover Dover Mimaman. Because you're learning that the Gzeir Shava of Dover Dover from Dini Mamanis, that just like there you need two aidim, so also here you need two aidim for Kedushah.
Yes.
The problem, no, you only have one. The problem is, the husband and the wife agree, fine, but they're not aidim. They only have one aid. E malahal and hadas bal din kamei aidim dummy. Fine, by that logic then, just like in the case of dinim mominus, you don't necessarily need aidim. If the bal din himself admits, that's the equivalent of 100 aidim. Akana das bal din kamei aidim dummy. Amalei, so Rakan answers him, the difference is, hasam like a chi of lachri. Because the difference is, if somebody is moda in basin and he owes somebody money, he's not causing a loss for somebody else. He's the one losing out. Fine, we can believe it. But over here, he's causing a loss for other people as well. Because, for example, if now in this case, he and she are both agreeing that they were makadish, that there was kedushin over here, but they only have one aid, what happens, besides the fact that there's a marriage created over here, you're also, each one of them is becoming also to marry any of the other's relatives. That's something you're affecting third parties. You can't do that based on one aid. Therefore we should argue that not only you need two aid, but you can't even accept hijab
problem.
Even if they both agree, but there's only one aid.
But
they're also being high up.
But then they're the ones that have to be married to someone else.
But the point is, those relatives are now also to ever marry them, even if the husband or wife dies afterwards.
So there are
third parties involved. Yeah.
And that makes a difference.
Who the halacha is like in the end, whether the halacha is like a Kahana or a Papa, is a machlokas rishonim. And in Shulchan Aruch it brings that I think the mechaber holds one way and the Rama holds the other way. I don't remember which is which. But okay, we gotta get moving to Meirish.
Do they have a Devanah? Someone who wants to make you the... Because of an answer that...